Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. This is Dan.
And Delatorre. Silk off in the Bahamas, just gallivanting around white sand beaches.
Just on an entire Caribbean vacation. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. The water looked great. Looked like he got into his vibe. His flight got delayed. So in order to get you an episode for, nearly 5 years in a row, every single Monday we're doing this. So we'll miss you, Silk. We'll see you next week. Nick, how was your weekend? Everybody's favorite part of the show when we talk about our weekends.
That's you think it'd be a nice thing to hear? Just want us to get into Gator content. Harrison Sanchez changed up his picture. He was in a Gators Online.
Wow.
He was in a Gators Online one. And I looked down, I'm like, oh, I remember the name. I looked at the picture. I'm like, that's not the AI Harrison I'm used to.
Yeah, that's AI, though. I know he doesn't look like that. All right, Nick, how's your weekend, buddy?
Good. Florida baseball won a series. That's what I was doing.
Against the Georgia Bulldogs.
You love to see it. My parents were in town, or my dad's in town. They bought a house up here. So they've been redoing the floors, stuff like that. Got to see my boy Thomas Goldkamp, who was driving through in town. So good weekend overall and into a new week, SEC baseball tournament week.
Awesome. Got to play golf 2 times this weekend, Nick. Damn. And I went to the Hard Rock. Ended up $160. Shout out to the blackjack dealer. Her name was Q. I asked her multiple times, should I stop? And she said, keep going. Kept making money. I finally was up. And I was like, is this a good time to stop? She's like, yeah. Appreciate her. Going to Costa Rica on Wednesday.
Just a letter?
Well, no, she had an Asian name. I think it was Japanese. She just said, I go by Q. So, shout out to her. Golfed really well. Almost again, broke 80. Almost double or bogeyed the last 2 holes. Again, it's a traditional, I just don't have the mental fortitude.
Is that what it is? I enjoyed, so my buddy, he's now an artist, but he was a college golfer, and I think he shot like 75 one time and was finished second. I'm like, well, why didn't you win? He's like, I missed my putt for 74.
Yeah.
So I enjoy tweeting that at you. You're like, why can't I break 80? I'm like, you should stop missing your putt for 79.
Yeah. I just had a fantastic round top to bottom, but, fell apart at the end. That's okay. We'll continue to strive to get better. Played on Sunday thinking I would carry that momentum over. Did not. We'll not talk about my score on Sunday. So, but we appreciate everybody for watching. We are going a little bit later today than normal. So we appreciate a new crew of people hopping in. Want to give a quick shout out to Cruz N888. That's telling me to shave my big ass head. It's time to let it go. I get it. It probably is starting some more treatment, try to get something to grow. Back some follicles and everything else. Don't think it's going to work. Maybe next year. We're going to hold on to the best that we can.
I've still, my hair is gray. It's retreating a little bit. I just need a haircut, which is why I need a haircut for about a month, as my wife reminds me. That's why the hat.
Yeah. Well, man, we appreciate everybody for hopping in today. Appreciate Callie Burbia, who I did not know watched every morning from California. So we appreciate you, Harrison. I don't even want to know what you're getting into tonight. You've probably got a wine tasting with some nice Chablis that were shipped over to Vail. We appreciate you spending the evening with us.
It's definitely French and 30 years old.
Oh, least. Yeah. I mean, the label's been peeled off. It's been sitting in a cellar underground since Cleopatra was.
I think at one point it was in King George's collection, and now it's just sitting in on the granite countertops of Harrison's Vail Chateau.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one, you know? speaking of Harrison's riches, the Gators got a little richer this week, Nick. We telegraphed it a little bit on the show last week, but Cormani McClain, the defensive back from Colorado, did announce his commitment to the University of Florida. Will be on campus. What I thought was really cool about that, Nick, was Zach Albaverde was able to release the old commitment video from back when he was in high school, when he shouted out his mom. He had a coach on there. Just a really cool, impactful video. So Cormani McClain, it's kind of crazy how the world turns, ends up at the University of Florida as a preferred walk-on. Nick, thoughts? What does this do to the Gators DB room now, and then what can it do in the future?
Yeah, again, my initial thought was, here we go again.
Yeah.
Back in the Cormani rat race, back into the Cormani roller coaster. I think, you know, after talking to Ahmad Black, who obviously coached him his senior year, this isn't a bad kid. This isn't a kid like we're talking about is like getting DUIs. I think he would transfer to Georgia if that were the case. But he's not getting like in trouble off the field. It's just like some immature decisions.
Yeah.
And I think talking to Ahmad, who obviously is close with Cormani, it's kind of a humbling experience for Cormani. He is a kid who at 17 years old in high school, everybody wanted him. Right. You jump in the portal after just 1 year, it's just 1 year later, and that same market is not there. And I think that's a little bit humbling. I think it's a little bit humbling for him to come as a walk-on. So I think you're going to get a hungry Cormani McClain, one that is ready to prove himself. And listen, he's a walk-on now. Like, he'll be on scholarship in December.
Sure.
From Florida's perspective, you're getting a former five-star, somebody who you really wanted. I mean, this is a guy who was so wanted that Randy Shannon was, as Silk put last, said it on Monday, was held hostage while Mike Norvell held a birthday cake. And the entire
Keewon Ratliff too.
The entire staff sung out. Like, this is a kid that was so wanted that grown men were acting crazy.
Right.
Super talented football player. I think if you can put some weight on him, he's 6'2", 6'4", wingspan, weighs 160 pounds. I think if you put some weight on him, he's a guy that's a future NFL draft pick. And you're getting that without having to pay a scholarship for 6 months. It's eventually going to be on Cormani. I think Florida has talked about a ton about the culture that they've built. The sense of accountability, not just to the program, to the school, to the coaches, the accountability to each other inside the locker room that they've cultivated over 3 years. And if one player can ruin that, then maybe it's not the same kind of their kind of culture that you thought it was. So to me, one player is not going to ruin your culture. And Florida feels like the structure that they have in place, the accountability that they have in place, can help make Cormani better. Zach Albaverde wrote a story that he thinks Florida can help Cormani more than Cormani can help Florida. So I think that's kind of where Florida is. I don't think he's a starter from day one. No. I think Jason Marshall, Devin Moore are starters. And then
Jakeem Jackson.
You got to get in where you fit in. There's Jakeem Jackson, Deshaun Johnson, Aaron Gates, Sharif Denson, Jameer Grimsley. Like, all of these guys have a head start on Cormani as well from just being here for spring practice. The sophomores being here for some of them two springs and obviously in the fall as well. So Cormani's going to have to earn it. And I think he signed up for that.
Yeah, no, you have a lot of riches. Let's just run through. You mentioned Jason Marshall there. Let's look at just first and second year players the Gators will have: Cormani McClain, Jakeem Jackson, Teddy Foster, Aaron Gates, Bryce Thornton, Josiah Davis, Jameer Grimsley, Dejon Johnson. It's a solid group. Gregory Smith, right? I mean, now you're starting to tack some tack on some talent here that not only is just one or two big names, but now you have, I think, four players that were top 30 DBs in the class of 2023. And that room's kind of shifted a little bit, right? I mean, I think that one of the things that we've talked about at Florida the last couple of years has just been, if one guy goes down, who's next, right? And there's still a lot of development, but between Cormani McClain, Jakeem Jackson, Dejon Johnson, Devin Moore, Jameer Grimsley, you have all of those guys were ranked in the top 20 of their class from DBs. Aaron Gates is a guy that the Gators are really high on. That doesn't even account for the fact that you have Bridges, Douglas, some other older players on the team now as well. Devin Moore, obviously, is your other starter in there. You know, now all of a sudden, now you have some real competition in that room to be able to get on the field. It's not just next man up. It's next man who earned it is up.
Yeah, I pulled up our old trusty CFBstats.com, which is essentially my landing page during football season. Pull up the national rankings, slide down to interceptions. There are 132 Division I football teams in the United States of America. Daniel, where did Florida wind up on the interceptions ranking?
I think it's, I'm going to guess 127.
132. Florida 132, and Temple.
Wow.
Florida and Temple, worst in the country at getting their hands on the ball. Cormani had 10 interceptions as a junior in high school, a former receiver. I think Jameer Grimsley. What I think Florida did this offseason is you had a bunch of athleticism and a bunch of talent. They added a veteran experience, and I think thousands of snaps and nearly 100 starts between DJ Douglas, Traquiz Bridges, and Asa Turner.
Yeah.
So I think you have a really unique secondary with young guys, and also some of those young guys, like Jordan Castell, nobody played more snaps than Jordan Castell last year on defense. Nobody.
Nuts.
So sophomore on paper, you still think, hey, young, but a ton of experience. Bryce Thornton, like a
junior in experience.
Bryce Thornton, who I think is going to be a situational role player. He started the last two games at safety as a freshman. So I really like Florida's secondary. Now, listen, now you have to get your hands on the ball. There was a ton of explosive plays given up. That's not all on the secondary. You know, you could have Champ Bailey and Daryl Revis in their prime on either side. It's going to be hard for them to cover a guy for 8-9 seconds. You have to have a pass rush. Everything is kind of tied in together, but I think Florida's secondary, I think when I wrote a story and I thought the secondary was the best position group on defense, ahead of the defensive line, even just because of what they've been able to add. And Cormani's another addition to that room.
Yeah, no, definitely need probably to add some weight. You're going to have some maturation time, some gestation time, getting used to the university and getting an opportunity, and maybe with the expectation being a little bit lower, right? He was one of the highest ranked recruits. I think he was the highest ranked recruit Colorado had ever gotten. And the expectation is for him to start year one. Obviously he didn't, he had some struggles, and we can leave those struggles in Colorado, right? Until they happen here, we can hope that they're an isolated circumstance. Ends up playing four games, doesn't have a great four-year stretch or a four-game stretch there. Maybe for him, like you said, Nick, this is just that eye-opening experience for him to be able to learn, grow, and maybe some of that expectation is now off of him, right? I know DBs like the limelight and everything else, but transitioning from high school to college, no matter how good you are, still takes some time. And now where he's going to be on the depth chart, there's going to get some time for him to be able to add some weight, add some size, work on some of that skill, You know, I've got a friend of mine that wasn't as high on Cormani McClain going into his senior year and then going into college as he was on Jakeem Jackson and a few others. He thinks that Cormani just needs a little bit more time from a coaching perspective. It's not just all athleticism at the college level. So maybe this time, using this year of transition, maybe play some situational football this upcoming season. But between him, Jakeem Jackson, Dijon Johnson, Jameer Grimsley, Devin Moore is still, you know, got a full, you know, time ahead of him if he, you know, chooses to stay and can stay healthy. There's a bit of a log jam there, and that's a good log jam for the University of Florida because they've not had that in, you know, probably 4 or 5 years now at the DB position.
Yeah, and like Devin Moore being healthy, I don't know if that translates, that knocking on wood, the wood desk I'm sitting here. He's been healthy for exactly 50% of the games that Florida has had. I think when he's healthy, he's potentially your best cornerback. Yep,
for sure.
Just keeping him healthy. I think it was obviously the shoulder, which is pre-existing coming into the year, his freshman year, an old high school injury, and then last year, I think it was a concussion, which as football, it's going to happen. If you can keep him healthy, I think this is a potential breakout season for Devin Moore to kind of look like the player that, you know, all of us in the media and I think the fans have been talking about and projecting and hoping to see.
You want to prognosticate here, Nick, with me a little bit?
Let's have fun.
Better career. Let's see. Pick these names. Dijon Johnson, Jameer Grimsley. We'll throw Aaron Gates in there for S&Gs. Jakeem Jackson and Cormani McClain. Of those five, who do you think has the best career?
I'm going to go with Jakeem Jackson.
Okay.
I like Jakeem.
Yeah, Jakeem's good.
I think Aaron Gates can be good. He's very versatile.
Yeah. Had a year to be able to learn, focus on one position.
Yeah.
Coming
off of an injury. It was a long, slow process coming off of his knee injury. I think he's going to compete with Sharif Denson. It will be interesting to me. I think the whole reason why DJ Douglas and Jaquez Bridges, specifically Douglas, played only safety in the spring was you have hundreds of reps of those guys playing nickel from their 4 years in college. Sharif Denson, you've got a bunch of practice tape, a bunch of practice film. But Aaron Gates played outside safety outside corner and safety last year. So you spent the entire spring, hey, let's get these two essentially freshmen, redshirt freshmen, the opportunity to learn and not have to look over their shoulder and you know, see what or worry about an older player. So DJ Douglas is a guy that could slide into nickel.
Yeah.
But to me, it's interesting. I think Aaron Gates can give Sharif Denson a run for his money to start there.
Man, it's a good problem to have, Nick. We haven't had this problem in a little while.
You'd rather have too many guys to play in the same spot than have to, you know, have walk-on practices in October, walk-on tryouts in October.
So let's talk a little bit more about Cormani because Jackson here said, can we not talk about Cormani until he gets a scholarship? Unfortunately, it's the summertime and content is limited, so we're going to talk about him. That's just the nature of things. We could be talking about walk-on player Ethan Wilson, who I just learned is from Coral Springs, Florida. So I now have a new favorite player, number 46 on defense. But Nick, how do you think Cormani gets treated as a PWO? We've seen some PWOs play at the University of Florida under Billy Napier. How do you think he gets treated versus the scholarship DBs? What kind of expectations do you think he has coming in of what's wanted and needed out of him? And obviously, Florida also has a scholarship issue. They were over the scholarship limit if they were to put him on scholarship right away. Again, those numbers have a tendency to work themselves out. But Nick, what do you think should be an expectation for him at all?
Yeah, the expectation is to fall in line with the program. You're early for meetings. You're early for
Got to turn the iPad on. Got to turn the iPad on this
early
time.
Early for meetings, the coaches can see how much film you're watching in your downtime. It's gotten to the point where you're doing your morning run, your morning lift, and your meetings isn't enough. Coaches want to see what you're doing outside of that, and they can check it. Big Brother is watching the time spent on the iPad. So all of those things. He's not going to be treated any differently as a walk-on as if he were on scholarship. There's literally no difference in how he'll be treated. It's not like Cormani McClain gets the ninth rep, or his ninth in line in DB drills because he's a walk-on.
Awesome. Let's
and in NIL, we're in an interesting spot because so Florida is over. They're at 86 with the next person we'll talk about. How if you have let's say Dan is on scholarship at the University of Florida, and he was in a position where his parents and or his grandparents paid for Florida Bright or Florida prepaid. And then Dan graduated with a 3.0 in high school and now has Florida Bright Futures. And we can get Dan a little bit of NIL money. Hey, Dan, we need a scholarship. Can we take you off scholarship this fall? Here's the NIL package that Florida Victorious can offer you. Plus, you're already getting this Bright Futures money, and it's going to help the team. I think NIL is going to get us into a spot where 85 scholarships might be a very fluid number.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to seeing him and seeing what he does at the University of Florida. Always great to get a former five-star and hopefully get the opportunity to still impact, make a positive impact on his life and make an impact on the field. The next player the Gators got, we will bring up right after we talk about our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Nick, the baseball jersey sold out almost immediately.
I have one on the way.
Using the Stadium and Gale promo code, I know the hats and the jerseys sold out quick. If I know Home Field Apparel, and I do, those will come back in the relative near future. So keep an eye out there. But if you're looking for
For legal reasons, they want us calling them pullovers. They're not jerseys. They're pullovers.
They're pullovers then. So if you want a future baseball pullover or the old retro hat, you can go visit homefieldapparel.com. Like I said, about 20 different shirts for the University of Florida and a bevy of other schools as well. So if you are looking to get some retro gear from the University of Florida, go visit homefieldapparel.com. Promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout, all one word, to get you 15% off of your order. Not too long after, Nick, the Gators grabbed Elijah Badger, the wide receiver from Arizona State. Last season, 65 receptions, 713 yards, 3 touchdowns with an 11-yard average. The season before had 866 yards on 70 receptions, 12.4-yard average, 7 touchdowns. Nick, we weren't sure. We weren't sure Elijah Badger would be coming to the University of Florida. Some questions about his back, the previous charge. But Elijah Badger announces that he's coming to the University of Florida, an impact player right at the wide receiver position, Nick. So give us your thoughts on Elijah Badger, and then let's talk about that wide receiver room a bit.
When Florida went into the spring portal, I said they need to hit tight end, interior offensive line, and receiver. Sometimes I just say things and talk out of my neck. Sometimes, a lot of times, I'm just telling you what has been told to me by people in the program. This is one of those times. They get Caleb Rios, who's a walk-on, or graduated the Air Force in 3 years. Didn't even know that was a thing or possible.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Wants to get a master's degree in mechanical engineering at the University of Florida. So, team GPA going up, Dan.
Team GPA. I'm excited for it.
Team GPA going up. You get Jason Zamandela, who I think is a projection down the road starter, has only been playing 4 years. of football for 4 years, a rugby player from Mozambique.
I'll take rugby players any day of the week, Nick.
I know that Kormani McLean gets the headlines, but Elijah Badger is a more impactful pickup for Florida in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
I go back, and I think I've used this on our show before. If you go back to 2020, when Kyle Pitts got targeted and concussed, it became a lot easier to cover Kadarius Toney. I thought going into this year, Florida's receiver room is okay. Like, I don't think anyone's, you know, bad, but like,
I think it's good. I think it was okay.
We're projecting that Aiden Mizell is going to be really good. We're projecting that Andy Jean's going to be really good. Khalil Jackson makes highlight catches. Chimiri DK and Graham Mertz go back to 2020 when they were on the scout team together. The chemistry is there. But which one of those players that I named, if you're a defensive coordinator, is keeping you up on Thursday night before you play Florida on Saturday?
Probably only just Eugene Wilson. Yeah.
You needed to get somebody to take the pressure off, to take the attention off Eugene Wilson. And hey, if you want to take Eugene out of the game, that's cool, because we have this guy who we can then turn to and throw 8, 9, 10 passes, and he can beat you.
I think, Nick, beyond just having another weapon there, you need the experience, right? I mean, Florida, all of the people that you just named
outside DK.
Right. I mean, DK's never played at the University of Florida, right? He played at Wisconsin, had a rough year last year without Graham Mertz. Obviously, they have some connection. Didn't look great in the orange and blue game, right? Doesn't mean that he won't progress. But Aiden Mizell, we've not seen Andy Jean, much of Andy Jean, right? You tackle it, you know, you put in injuries and everything else. All of that, Florida's just not returning a ton of production, right? So Ricky Pearson, Eugene Wilson really ran that offense last year. And Eugene Wilson, while we have unbelievable expectations for him, that's a lot to put on the shoulders of him, right? Especially as he went through some things last year. He wasn't fully healthy all of last year. So Florida needed that experience. To me, that's the most important thing that Florida's bringing to that room. It's not just the experience of having a bunch of snaps, but the experience in getting 700, 800, 900 yards in a season. And I think that that's what he brings to the table. He brings some size. I think that he's really done a great job. I think that Graham Mertz is going to be a better quarterback than what he's had the last couple of seasons at Arizona State as well. I think that he's going to have some good opportunity to be able to make some money for himself this season as well at the University of Florida. And I think that he immediately goes to option number 1B for the University of Florida. He's going to be used differently than Eugene Wilson, but to me, he's option 1B right now.
Yeah, watching his highlight tape, he does catch a lot of those, you know, like bubble screens, tunnel screens, things like that. But he's 6'2", 6'1", 6'2". I think he gets separation. He catches the ball with his hands away from his body. He's got some wiggle to him. He can make people miss. The biggest thing to me, though, is separation. Like Florida, the last 4 or 5 years, just doesn't, outside of Ricky Pearsall and a lot of Trey Wilson stuff, was last year at least, was, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. Don't have receivers that get separation. I think getting Elijah Badger, as long as he stays healthy, there was the back injury that cost him some games last year, kept him out of all of spring. And I think if you know you're going to hit the transfer portal, maybe, hey, I don't need to get hurt in spring practice. I'm going to be leaving here. Maybe that's the thought process. But yeah, that, to me, in terms of wins and losses in 2024, Elijah Badger was a bigger pickup than Kormani McLean, despite the way, sure, you know, the media treats it, or just the name recognition that Kormani comes with, because he's from Florida, and we went through the roller coaster in 2023 with him.
Yeah, let's run through this transfer portal class here. Because I do think it's important. And Nick, the quickest thing that I could find was the 247 ranking. So I apologize. But for sake of all of the listeners here, this is where Florida is. So right now, Florida is ranked number 5 and on 3 for the transfer portal class, which is significantly higher than they've ever been ranked, and have 5 people in the top 100. So Jason Zandamella was the number 7 overall player. Again, probably not going to play much, if at all, this season. He's a guy that's still learning. He's the class of 2024, right? So probably not going to expect to see much out of him, but he's definitely a guy that projects very well into the future. Cormani McClain, similar situation, you know, is going to need some time to be able to make an impact on the field. He was number 21. Joey Slackman was number 49. Again, I think that he's a guy that's going to play a lot of snaps, maybe not an every down kind of guy, but I definitely think he impacts that defensive line quite a bit. And is the Ivy League player, our defensive player of the year last season, our defensive line player of the year. Grayson Howard, a guy that we think is going to get a ton of snaps, transfers over. Pup Howard transfers over at linebacker from South Carolina. He's going to have a pretty big impact this season. Jameer Grimsley, we've mentioned him, is a guy that goes to a crowded room. I don't want anybody to sleep on Jameer Grimsley. I know that we were talking about who has the best impact at the University of Florida out of that DB group that we mentioned. We didn't mention his name other than listing it. I think that he's a guy that was recruited by almost every school in the program, committed to Alabama over Florida. Nick Saban retires, he comes. But those are five people in the top 100 that the Gators were able to get. You throw in Elijah Badger, he was ranked number 184. Triquez Bridges, number 202. DJ Douglas, 282. And Asa Turner, 287. Bridges, Douglas, and Turner are all going to play very meaningful downs, if not start, for the Gators. You add in Shamari DK was 373. Devin Manuel, who's going to probably play quite a bit at 403. Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon, number 549. He's going to play. And then you get into Caleb Relos, 829. George Gums, 982, who had a pretty good orange and blue game. And then Clay Millen from Colorado State is the QB, just to add another person to that list. But Nick, top to bottom, I think this is the best transfer portal that the Gators have gotten since the transfer portal opened.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get hits and misses in the transfer portal. Right. Like Mike and Mazuka, big swing and miss on a curveball in the dirt. Graham Mertz, what we thought was a big swing and miss, proved to be a home run. Osiris Torrance, consensus All-American. Ricky Pearsall, first-round draft pick. And then players that, you know, like R.J. Moten, who came – started at safety or now moved to linebacker. Like, you're going to have hits and misses, but I think Florida addressed areas of concern. You need a defensive line depth. George Gums, a player, they think they found a, you know, a diamond in the rough, a former tight end who moved to defensive line. I like tight ends that move to defensive line more than defensive linemen that move to tight ends. I think there's a very big difference there in terms of moving positions. And it remains to be seen. I think Caleb Banks is a guy two transfer portals ago that I wasn't very high on that I think has had an awesome offseason. And kind of, I thought going into the offseason, I thought, oh, Joey Slackman's going to take that starting spot next to Cam Jackson.
Yeah.
And I think Banks.
Another transfer.
Yeah. And I think Banks has just taken leaps and bounds, has become a leader in that room. And now Joey Slackman is not a bad player, but probably going to be a rotational piece. And Florida's defensive line is in a position where you're two and three deep pretty much everywhere across the line. I think you can get guys 25 reps a game. You go back to Billy Napier's first year, and it sticks out in my mind because it's so ridiculous, but Gervon Dexter playing like 68, 70 snaps against Utah, just out of necessity. And I remember, like, defending Gervon. I don't know that anyone needs to be defended. I think that's it comes off a little weird at times. I remember defending Gervon Dexter. People are like, look at him taking this play off. I'm like, that was his 68th snap.
Right. Yeah. Can he play the most of any player on defense that season?
Yeah. I'm like, he's 6'6", 330 pounds, and he's playing his 68th snap on a night when it's 85 degrees with 147% humidity. I'm like, cut him a break. The ball was run away from him, and he jogged over to the other side of the field on his 68th play of the game.
Right.
I think you're in a position now where strength in numbers makes the individual player better because right. You're not having to play while you're exhausted. Chris Rumpf told us, and this is one stands out to me too. He said, I learned under Nick Saban that when the big men, when your defensive linemen run out of gas, they only have one gas tank.
Right.
And there's not enough orange slices or Gatorade in the locker room to refill it. When their gas tank is on empty, they're playing on empty the rest of the game. And I think right now, Florida, you have position or you have a chance to keep those snap counts down and keep everybody playing at a high level throughout the game.
I think you have that in all facets of the defense for the first time since we've been here. It doesn't mean that they're all spectacular players or that there's not going to be a drop off, but you finally have a defensive line that can have a rotation that's pretty healthy. You have a defensive back room that seems that they can have a pretty healthy rotation as they need it. They have a safety room that can have a little bit of a rotation, and you're not throwing your arms up in the air like I did with the Dolphins every time Eli Apple would come out, right? So there's still a lot of opportunity to improve, and we don't know, right? There's a lot of young people, and that's the question that we still have at the University of Florida is there's a lot of good talent that seemingly, at least from the star rankings and what we've seen a little bit out of them, to say, hey, there looks to be a bright future. It's just a matter of who's that bright future under, right? Is it, does Florida do enough this season? And we're going to talk a little bit about maybe Florida's floor and ceiling changing here in a second, but is it going to be enough? And we're going to see the results right away where Gator fans are satiated enough to say, hey, there's enough progress and improvement here by these guys, and they're able to bring in some folks. But I've got to give Billy Napier some credit. I know I've been a little hard on him this off season, but being able to bring in five top 100 transfer portal players after winning 11 games in two seasons. I know Florida has a brand and Florida puts players in the NFL, but it's still a job well done by the staff, and I've got to give them credit. And then when you start to look at these 2024 guys that came in the transfer portal, that group ranks in the top 10 in the country. There's a lot to be said about that, and I will go ahead and give my flowers to the staff for being able to do so. And you know, I guess that's going to be the biggest question is how does Florida do this season? They have a very tough schedule. Reminder, next season's schedule is the exact same.
Run it back, right? Baby.
Yeah, except, run it back.
Except you start on the road against Miami instead of hosting them.
Well, we'll be at a home game in Miami. You know what I mean?
It's a neutral site game, essentially.
At best. So the biggest thing is you, Harrison just said it, but you have some foundational players in there that you're going to be able to build your team off of in the future. It's just a matter of, will this be enough? And what does this season look like? And I still say to this day, it's the coaching blunders that we really want to see some improvement on this season. But you finally have some talent that's been infused. And, you know, I think that you can finally look at this roster and say, hey, there is some great foundational pieces to build off of in the future.
Yeah. I think it is the most talented roster that Florida has had under Billy Napier. It took some time to build it. There is more than one way to skin a cat. That's not a literal. Don't come after me, cat lovers.
What are the different ways, Nick?
You can go Mike Norvell. Yeah.
You can go. No, I was talking about building a team, Nick. I was talking about skinning a cat.
In the way
I don't know any ways to skin a cat. It's not something that I
would never do it
often, but
would never skin a cat. But you can go the Florida State route. Mike Norvell has leaned heavily into the transfer portal. And I think it's big patchwork year to year. If you're leaning on the transfer portal, you're going to have to lean on it again the following year because those guys are only there in your program for a year, 2 years. Billy Napier throughout his time has said, we're going to focus in on high school recruiting. We want to build our roster through high school recruiting, supplementing with the transfer portal. And that's just going to take a little bit longer of a time to rebuild your roster. I think the last 2 years, they've taken a lot of transfers. But if you look at them, they are at positions of need, specifically, this go around specifically defensive line, linebacker, and Pup Howard is someone we haven't really talked too much about, but I think he's a potential starter next to Shamar James. So there's a bunch of ways to handle that. I think Florida, I personally think you should be building your roster through high school recruiting and supplementing, but Florida State has had a lot of success under Mike Norvell doing it the other way. Now, I think their high school recruiting is picking up, but in the meantime, it's helped them.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it'll be interesting to see, right? Florida got some developmental guys out of the transfer portal. They got some seasoned players, DK, Asa Turner, Triquez Bridges, Elijah Badger, a ton of snaps under their belt, Joey Slackman, a lot of opportunity to bring that experience to help coach, mentor, and develop the younger players as well. So I don't know if it's lying season, Nick, but my impetus to lie is significantly higher now than it was a couple weeks ago. But it's the fun of the off season, Nick. It's the fun of the off season. Let's talk. Nick, you wrote an article, Floor and Ceiling. And I know the comments. I can already project the comments. The Gators' new ceiling is their old floor. And I get it, right? Nobody's happy. Everybody wants to win. Nick, you wrote an article looking at all of the different transfer portal additions, the recruiting class, the developments that we've had during the offseason. What do you think Florida's floor is, and what do you think Florida's ceiling is?
I thought, you know, and honestly, when you do floor ceiling, the reality is probably somewhere in the middle. I thought, and I've kind of talked myself into a new ceiling. I wrote today that ceiling would be 8-4.
Nick, can I pause you real quick? This is why I love our chat. Mr. Marquez, we need lies. Jackson, yes. I'm sick of lies. I love it. Keep going, guys. Oh, shout out to shout out to Famous here. Appreciate the super chat donation. Good stuff, fellas. Major love. Go Gators. If you guys weren't here at the beginning of the show, Silk is flying back from the Caribbean. So his flight was delayed, so he wasn't able to make it today. So, Nick, back to the floor ceiling.
Right. Keep sending those super chats and Silk can fly private and he won't miss any more shows.
That's right.
I thought I'm really locked in probably Florida being 6-6, 7-5. But then I looked at it and I'm like, okay, well, if I think they can get 7-5, maybe there's a game they surprise me. So I did a ceiling of 8-4. You can check that out on Gators Online. And my floor, I did 3-9.
It's tough for me to see three, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I like Florida is under Billy Napier is 2-10 on the road. So right. I'm giving them a road win at Mississippi State in that scenario. I'm giving them a road or a home win over Stanford and a home win over Texas A&M. Those are two first-year coaches, first-year programs early on in the season before the first-year coaches have worked out all the kinks. And then after that, brutal. And that 3-9, that's 3-9 is a doomsday scenario that I don't think Billy Napier survives.
No.
I'm also talking myself
able to go 3-9. I think he's fired also, before that.
Anything lower, you're 11-14. So even 7-5 means after 3 years, you're still an under 500 football coach. And
yeah,
I don't know that you get your job. I think maybe you do because DJ Lagway, but like, do you keep a coach on the promise of one player? I don't know.
I mean, and that's also in the idea that the players would choose to stick around for what would absolutely positively be an absolute make or break year with, again, the toughest schedule in the country again.
That's why the SEC is being like, what I mean? Let's just, you know what? Making schedules is so tough. It feels like we got 24 right. What if we just did it again? Be kind, rewind, and hit play again? It's wild.
Imagine running scheduling for the SEC. They're like, all right, guys, you know, Joanne and Steve, you guys are responsible for the schedule next season. They come back a few months later. They're like, all right, boys, got an idea.
Hear what me if we out.
Just did the same thing again, but just reverse? And they're like, Sankey's like, you know what?
Brilliant.
I'm in.
Brilliant.
Let's go to the bar, boys.
I am now, not to toot my own horn, pat myself on the back, was pretty dead on last year. Outside of a 4th-17 conversion at Missouri, I would have started an 11-0. And outside of Graham Mertz going, thinking he was Tim Tebow, breaking his collarbone, I think a Graham Mertz-led Gators beats Florida State last year at home. Would have been 12-0.
Florida should have beat Florida State without some coaching blunders.
So. Would have been 12-0 on the year in my picks. I am unfortunately talking myself into picking UCF over Florida.
Don't do it, man. Not on this podcast, not in the summer, buddy. Not listen, right now.
I'm just letting you know my thought process. KJ Jefferson is.
They don't even have DeMarcus Bowman anymore, Nick.
That's probably a net positive. KJ Jefferson is the player that Gus Malzahn will create when EA College Football comes out. Last year, Dan Enos inexplicably cut KJ Jefferson's legs off for the first six games and asked him to sit in the pocket and throw the ball. Dan Enos, who is now an analyst at Florida, because of his decisions running the offense with KJ Jefferson as his quarterback. Because of his decisions not running KJ Jefferson is now an analyst at Florida. I know a coach that won't ask KJ Jefferson to stand in the pocket quite differently, might ask him to run the ball 25 times. And KJ Jefferson's already played in the swamp and won. UCF added 26 transfers. I think the rosters will be closer than they should be. famous. Listen, I also said the ceiling is 9. We're just playing both ends.
No, you can't. You're not a switch hitter, Nick.
I think UCF is a tougher game. Like we talk about the back end of the schedule being tough, and it is. It's brutal. But I think the Miami game in the opener, you have to win. You have a built-in excuse if you're Miami because it's an away game. I know it's 3:30, but the swamp's going to be electric. The swamp's going to be electric. Florida and Miami, I looked it up, Dan. In our lifetime, this used to be a yearly series. In our lifetime, this will be, I think, the 8th or 9th meeting between the two schools. Like, you don't get yearly opportunities like you do with Florida and Florida State to get these bragging rights. Now, Florida and Miami will play again next year, but then after that, who knows?
Nick, so I think Florida is going to mollywop UCF.
Have to be.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to use the word. I don't know that Miami, I don't think Miami's that good. They've got some talent. They've recruited pretty well. I like Florida in a stadium that has more than 11 people in it. The yelling and screaming, despite Miami fans thinking they sold out the swamp this time.
That's the reason why the game will be sold out.
There was some loser from that's a Miami fan. I was going to say that went to University of Miami, but he definitely didn't. And he's like, the Miami side is sold out. What's wrong with Florida? We're like, buddy, you have about 1,800 seats. So that's more than you guys get in a traditional game. So welcome to Gainesville. Hopefully John Ruiz builds that homeless shelter that he talked about. I think Florida mollywops UCF, Nick. I really
did. Did you just call John Ruiz's pipe dream for a stadium a homeless shelter?
No, John Ruiz said that he's going to build a homeless shelter in Gainesville. He's abandoned that promise. We are not here, Nick, on Stadium and Gale, nearly 5 years into this, hundreds and hundreds of episodes in, to say that UCF is going to beat Florida on May 20th.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a game we should be paying more attention to. I've turned the chat on us. And listen, I made it 45 minutes before I turned the chat on us. But listen, in a 9-3 scenario, I think Florida's – Florida's probably a playoff team at 9-3. I think my 8-4 ceiling – I'm chalking up losses at Georgia and Texas, so I'm starting the season 0-2. That's a win over LSU. You haven't beat LSU in 5 years. You get them at home without Jaden Daniels, without two first-round receivers. You get Kentucky at home. Like, by God, please.
Yeah.
Please stop losing to Kentucky. The last time Florida had lost 3 straight games to Kentucky, Harry S. Truman was the leader of the United States.
Did you know Harry Truman's middle name is just the letter S? And he added? That's the letter S.
That's fantastic. That does include road wins. That includes either a win over LSU, Florida State, Ole Miss. And it's a lot of prognosticating. Like, Ole Miss looks to be really good. What will they look like in November? Maybe right. really good, maybe not. We don't know what injuries will look like. You know, in that three win scenario, I'm looking at early losses. If you fire a coach, I've seen Florida with interim coaches outside of one game with the best interim coach ever.
That's right. Shout out to Greg Knox.
Greg Knox, out
for the legend.
I think he lost his last interim game.
He did.
Really
he did.
Hurts, which really hurts my nickname hurts for him. But I think that's accurate. I think you could.
What do you think is accurate, Nick? You've gone way all over the place.
I think there's a possibility for 8 wins. I can see a 3-win doomsday scenario. I think Florida falls somewhere in the middle. They're 6-6, 7-5. The back end of the schedule is really, really tough. I need to see Florida play better on the road.
I think right now it's a lot to even think about how good some of those other teams are going to be, right? Ole Miss could be really good. They're replacing a lot of new talent in there. And, you know, Lane Kiffin has a propensity to never play defense. So I think that they'll put up a lot of points. Could they be good? I think that they're going to be one of the better teams than they've been in the past. Florida State's completely changing up their team. LSU's changing up their team. Georgia's obviously going to be really good. You don't get the Vanderbilt game this year, which is tough. That Kentucky game's obviously been a bit of an Achilles heel. They make some changes at some big important positions for them. I think they have Brock Vandergriff as their new quarterback over there. But other than that, they lose Smoke. They lose the Ray Davis. Was that his name? The running back. So a lot of changes to a lot of these programs. I think that we talked about a few months ago, 9 of the 12 teams that Florida's playing have new quarterbacks this season. So again, you know, I know that there's not a lot of reason to be optimistic on what we've seen in going 11-14. But I still think that there's a lot of TBDs on immediately. I'm not saying that you're doing this, but immediately chalking some of these things up to L's before we know the season's.
I feel very confident in chalking up at Jacksonville.
Yeah. Jacksonville and
Austin. At Texas. I feel very confident chalking those losses up, but not chalk, Sharpie, paint.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Harding, those are probably going to be losses. I don't anticipate myself expecting Florida to go to the national championship this season undefeated. But
they've had to figure out a way. Now, listen, you only get on an airplane 3 times this year. You get 7 home games. A bus to Tallahassee, a bus to Jacksonville. You're only getting on a plane to fly to Mississippi, Austin, and. What's the third one? Or is it only getting on a plane? Let me see this. Bad audio here. I think you're only getting on a plane. Oh, Tennessee. So you're going to fly to Starkville, fly to Knoxville, fly to Austin. Florida has been atrocious away from home. 2-10 right. under Napier. I saw a Twitter account like add in Mullins last year. And I was like, it doesn't make sense. If you're going to add Mullins, use all 4 years he was here, and then it's not as bad. So cherry picking stats there, but Napier's 2-10 away from the swamp. You have to figure out how to pick up your operation and move it and have success on the road. But you get a lot of home games: Miami, Samford, A&M, UCF, Kentucky, LSU, and Ole Miss, all in the swamp. Defend the swamp, and you could have a really, really good year in Gainesville.
We'll wait and see. We got a lot of time this offseason, Nick, for you to marinate on some of your thoughts here. Maybe take back your UCF over UF prognostication. But speaking of Dan Mullen, did you see Dan Mullen pulling a Dan Thompson this weekend?
I did not. I don't follow Dan Mullen. That was the second I published the story that he was fired, maybe even while I was writing the story that he was fired. Unfollowed him on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, just living my best life.
He's at a pool
party. He's living his. Vegas.
Yeah. It looked like he was having a great time. I actually noticed that I've not followed Dan Mullen in years. I don't think I ever followed him, to be honest with you. Keith Niebuhr was the one that brought it to my attention. Dan Mullen living the cabana life at a pool party in Las Vegas with famous DJ Eric Prydz. So would imagine that he's the oldest one in the crowd by a solid 10 or 15 years. But at least he's doing what I would do if I was given tens of millions of dollars to not coach for the rest of my life. Let's see.
It's a Nick, long off season. And I saw someone in the comments being like, "Damn, this would be a 10-win team with Dan. Dan Mullen wouldn't have this roster.
Right.
He wouldn't have this roster. He would have the schedule, but he wouldn't have the roster.
No, Dan Mullen had 8 wins with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts and a strong team, and he couldn't pull it together then. So, no, I don't think that Dan Mullen could do it. I don't think that Dan Mullen has the fortitude to be able to bounce through the NIL transfer portal world. I think that there's a reason he's not accepted another job. I think there's a reason why he hasn't been actively interviewing for other jobs. I think that the college football world has passed him. And if I was worth the amount of money that he was worth, I would probably say I'm doing an all right job on ESPN and living the life that I have. Very similar to Harrison Sanchez. Very, very Buddy, similar to Harrison.
Harrison and Dan are probably at the same après ski.
Easy. Yeah.
VIP tables next to each other.
Yeah. And I mean, Dan Mullen picked Jalen Jones to be his quarterback of the future. Yep. And Billy Napier has chosen a lot better. So while the results haven't worked out, I don't think that Dan Mullen would be in a better situation for Florida right now based on the talent that he was choosing to replicate all of those future plays or those future seasons with. Nick, I know that you got the chance to see Billy Napier last week in Jacksonville. He's in Tampa tonight. Nick, what was the theme? It seemed like some of the folks there thought that he was maybe a little bit more optimistic. I know he was optimistic last year when I saw him down in Sarasota. Had maybe a different energy about him. What was kind of the vibe that you got from last week in Jacksonville?
Ultimately, it's a results business. You have to win football games. But Billy does really well in these situations. He's I've always said he's a very genuine person.
Yeah. He very much
really,
is.
Really nice guy. Sits there and will talk to people to the point where our friend Rick Hurtado is having to like grab him and be like, "Hey, listen, we have to go."
Yeah. Shout out to Rick though. Got a job at the NFL.
Shout out to Rick. We'll be heading down back down south. He's from Miami, getting back down with his to where his family is. They have a 1-year-old daughter. So as I get prepared to have a daughter. And my parents are buying a house moving up here. I think I will soon know the benefit of having free daycare. I mean, my parents
To
help. But I think Billy does a really good job. And there's a portion of the talk with the people in the room where he's breaking down plays, which I think is probably unique, breaking down plays as if you were in a team meeting with the team. And there's one portion where he's like, "Hey, we're in a 5-man protection." And he goes and turns to the group while using the pointer to like circle the linemen. He goes, "How many offensive linemen do we have?" And they were slow to respond. And he's like, "Guys, we're just counting. There's 5 offensive linemen here." He goes, "Are you the same ones that are yelling at me on Saturday in the stadium?" And the crowd thinks it's funny. They show
I don't like that. I don't like that energy though, Nick. I don't like that. That's cutting delivery, a little
the delivery.
Did he bring up a special teams play where he only had 10 guys on the field?
Say, how many guys teams, do we have, he guys? He brought up the final kick.
He brought up the final kick
and he goes, "And look, here's 11 guys on the field." Crowd also accepted that. There's some self-deprecating humor. He understands it. This is the most Billy Napier's ever lost in his entire life. They were really good at Furman when he was their quarterback. They were really good at Clemson when he was there. Obviously, Bama was really good. Didn't stay at Arizona State long. They haven't been good at football in a hot minute. And then they were really good at UL. Like, this is the most he's ever lost. I think he takes it really hard, hates losing. He does really well in these settings. I say all that to then come back to you have to win football games. Being really nice and being liked just means they won't like fans won't find your address and put a for sale sign in it. They'll help you pack on the way out. Like being really nice isn't going to keep your job. Just might make people a little nicer to you on the way out. He has to win football games. I think he knows that, but overall, I think he's optimistic and It's a brutal schedule, but some of the points that I've made, like, hey, you'd rather get LSU at home instead of on the road against the third quarterback taken in the NFL draft and his two first team or first round wide receivers. You'd rather get Kentucky without, another experienced quarterback in Devin Leary and what's Mayo Man's name?
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Mayo Man.
On the Titans, yeah.
Make the superhero costume. Yeah,
somebody in the chat will remind us.
You'd like to start against Miami at home rather than on the road at Utah or against Utah.
In that little last stadium.
You like to get Ole Miss at home instead of on the road. You like to get Florida State without the 10 players they had drafted in Jordan Travis. I understand they're very excited about DJU. I'm not going to butcher his last name, DJU, but there's a reason why you're in your fifth year on your third school.
Right.
You went from a five-star number one overall player in the country to a journeyman college quarterback, and he could be really good. He could have a great season. History would show that it would be probably your first great season.
Yeah. No, and they're replacing, a lot of their talent too, as well. So, a lot of stuff. Anything else that Billy Napier said in Jacksonville?
He thinks the, and I'm going to write about this eventually, but I think the helmet communication is very interesting. They're going to like the NFL system where, let's say, like one player on defense will have a green sticker on their helmet and they will get the play radioed in. And then the quarterback obviously would have that on offense. And it's interesting because you build in cues. Now it's third and 17. Hey, we need third and 17, fourth quarter. We don't need to pick up 17. It's fourth down situation. We're trailing or the game's tied. But you're able to get the play call in and then give keywords, code words that you've worked on, whether it's like, hey, giraffe, because giraffe has a long neck. Hey, we need a long play. You have a word that means say this in the huddle to tell the player, hey, if you catch the ball, we have to get out of bounds or down immediately because we're up against the clock. So little ways that you can coach all the way up till 15 seconds left before the ball is snapped. And then also I think you're having different conversations with Graham Mertz, who's 23 years old, will be 24 in December, in the second year of the program, and then DJ Lagway. Now, to put my negative Nick hat back on, I envision a procedural penalty where you try to get DJ and Graham in on the same play, and DJ grabs his helmet, and now you've got two guys with radios in, and a flag comes out. I just envision it. Tell super producer Cam to clip this one out for us.
I actually saw there was a clip of the new NCAA video game that came out that Wyoming had two number 40s on their team, and somebody very snarkily wrote back, did Billy Napier move to be the head coach of Wyoming in NCAA 25? I do like that helmet communication. Hopefully it allows Florida to be able to be a little bit more strategic in terms of their play calls. I'll be honest with you. I think it's really goofy to watch the guys jumping around with all the signs and everything else. And I know that that's what you have to do. But with the huge sheet behind them, I just feel like in this multi-billion-dollar industry, we probably don't need some graduate assistants jumping up and down with a SpongeBob, a waterfall, a giraffe, and the number 6 on it. Just to indicate what plays we're at, right? So looking forward to that. Nick, did you see that the Football Bowl Subdivision Oversight Committee put forth a proposal to remove the cap on the number of program staffers that can be on-field coaching?
Yes. This was talked about last year, and they kicked the can down the road. So you can only kick the can so long before you end up having to make a decision. It's something that most programs in the country were hoping would get voted on. And yes, before last year, which would mean, let's say Coach Ryan O'Hara, he's only an analyst. So he does no coaching.
He does no coaching
while he's on the grass. Would never coach
No, we are a program of standards and ethics.
Yes. David Decker, really good wide receivers analyst, would definitely not coach.
Chris Couch would definitely not coach, though. You know that. You know what I mean? No, I'm just joking.
Is not coaching on game days and or during practice because he's not able to. He's an analyst. This would just allow those guys to coach on the field, which could create separation. Like Florida has 9,000 analysts, roughly ballpark estimate. 9,000 official.
Yeah, analysts. I don't see this really opening the floodgates of having everybody that's an analyst be able to coach, because at some time it's just too much.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Find the signal, right? You know, I know the NFL with less players has a couple of extra assistants that are there. Like you have an assistant wide receivers coach. You have a couple of other offensive line coaches. You have secondary or an assistant secondary coach. It's actually what Will Harris was with the Chargers, right? So I could see them adding, you know, a few more, and I don't think it's bad for the game of football from a development perspective and maybe from a product perspective to be able to do it. Right now it's all smoke and mirrors. We know they're doing it anyway, but it looks like there's going to be a vote on May the 16th, and then if it passes, it will go to a final vote at the end of June. So again, something to be looked out for. I don't know if that will impact this season or if it will impact the season after. But again, something to look out for. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. If you are in Gainesville, Florida, or if you are on the World Wide Web, go check out alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville, Florida on Archer Road. Anything that you'd want, from NIL apparel and jerseys to t-shirts, grilling supplies, accessories, anything you might need for a tailgate, anything that you might need for a gift for a relative, a birthday party, whatever it might be, go visit alumnihall.com and get the best selection of Gator sports goods in the world. Again, alumnihall.com or Alumni Hall on Archer Road in Gainesville. And yes, as George said, please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button.
Nothing and it helps us out a ton. We're just trying to.
Yeah, the comments help a lot, but we just need the like button. We need the subscribe button, but the algorithm helps us reach new people, helps us grow the show. So we appreciate you guys doing that as well. So Nick, normally we skip baseball for a variety of reasons, but the
Gators, We're back.
We threw it at the end of the episode today, so that one guy on YouTube that watches after isn't like skip to 11:18 to get past the baseball talk. So Nick, Gators take 2 of 3 against Georgia. Do end the season with a winning record, no matter what they do in Hoover. Number one strength of schedule, RPI 23. It looks like the Gators will make the tournament. And I was watching it the other day, and one of the announcers during the Florida-Georgia game said, Florida, despite having a really up and down season, is just not the number three seed that you would want to win or go up against in your division. But Nick, talk us a little bit through the Florida-Georgia game.
Yeah, Florida loses to Georgia Friday or Thursday night, come back and win Saturday, win Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, pretty convincing wins. It looks like they were trying to lose it late, in the game, but Florida really, they're frustrating. They're a frustrating team because last Saturday against Kentucky, they put together a complete game, pitching, hitting, and you're like, God, where has that team been all season long? That team wins. You know, I go back to Florida should have lost three one-run games to Missouri, should have won all three. That already gets you to 16 wins. You probably should have beaten Kentucky twice. That gets you to 17 wins. Like, there's just little games and little things that, like, you're like, shoot, man, like, what are we doing here? Like, this is a team that could be flirting with 20 SEC wins and instead are going to be a three seed. You know, I think Florida had to beat Georgia, had to win 2 out of 3. They get that done. When you get Florida's schedule, historically, the number to get in has been 13. The last time Florida had trouble getting into the NCAA tournament was really in 2013, and that team finished with 13 SEC wins, and they were the three seed in the Indiana Regional. This team is way more talented than that team. I agree that Florida can be a team that causes you some headaches. D1baseball.com today projected them as a 3 seed in the Tallahassee regional, which would be great for me traveling. My in-laws are in Tallahassee, free place to stay, easy drive down I-10. But Florida's a team that if they can get hot, you've seen Virginia, I think in 2015 was one of the last four in, went on to win a College World Series.
Yeah.
Ole Miss in 2022 was the 64th team, the last team, the committee said. Ole Miss was the last team we put in, and they went on a run and got hot. I don't know that Florida has the pitching depth. They have three freshmen that they were going to use on the mound that have all had surgery and have missed the year. You lost your catcher in Tanner Garrison. You lost Hayden Yost in the outfield just last weekend. You lost Ty Evans 2 weekends ago. So they've been hit with the injury bug early and late. But Florida's a team that can definitely make a host sweat. I think Florida should get in even if they lose on Tuesday at 5:30 to Vanderbilt. Some breaking news. Dan Pierce Kapala will start that game.
Nice.
For the Gators. You heard
it here first.
He threw on Thursday. And I think for Florida, if they lose, they're still a game over 500 and their RPI and their schedule will be good enough to get them in. But as they say in like MMA and boxing, like don't leave it up to the judges. I think if Florida beats Vanderbilt, goes 2-2 or 3-2, certainly they're a lock to get in. But the resume they've put together with their Q1 wins more than the other five, they have four other teams in the SEC with 13 wins. Their strength of schedule is higher. Their RPI is, I think, third of those three teams. I think Florida has positioned itself to make the tournament. I think they've done enough.
Awesome. Well, we will be on the lookout for that. The Gators will play this week against Vanderbilt to start that tournament. Do want to give a quick shout out to the Florida Gators lacrosse team, who has reached their second ever Final Four. They finished the regular season as the number 10 team in the country, but they were unseeded in the tournament. Have gone on a string of 20 victories in a row. They won the quarterfinal match against Maryland, and they will be playing the number 1 seed Northwestern, but want to give a quick congratulations to them. That's a really cool honor for them and for Amanda O'Leary, who has built a powerhouse of a lacrosse program at the University of Florida. Also want to give the men's golf team a quick shout out. They will be going out to, I believe it's in California, to compete to try to defend their crown as national champions in golf. We have SEC tournament track. We've got a lot of other things on the horizon for Gator sports as we head into the summer as well. But definitely wanted to give those two teams their flowers and congratulations. Nick, any final words before we head out of here?
No. Dan, you'll be vacationing. You'll be vacationing.
Yep. I'm heading to Costa Rica on Wednesday morning and coming back Sunday. So we'll figure out Monday as well. Monday's Memorial Day. So we'll try to figure out schedules for that. But yeah, going to Costa Rica for a bachelor party. Already know that I am not built for this. I've accepted that myself. So looking forward to that. It's with a really good friend of mine, one of the guys I went golfing with on Saturday. So any recommendations in the Jaco Beach area, please let me know. And then also I've got a work trip up to Montreal in a few weeks. So if anybody has been to Montreal and can throw some suggestions my way, don't have a ton of things to do there outside of some work meetings that really aren't too cumbersome in terms of time. I've heard great things about Montreal as well. So a lot on the horizon.
Damon's right. Softball swept through the Gainesville regional. Yeah.
I knew I forgot.
They will host the Bears of Baylor. Chip and Joanna will be in town, unconfirmed, maybe confirmed. Who knows?
I don't think they will be.
They could be. who knows? Big Baylor people out there.
Softball's gone on a hell of a heater to end the last few seasons. Can't believe I forgot them. They beat South Alabama, run rule, twice. Five innings to close out that series. That team is poised right now. Baylor was not the one seed in that bracket or in that regional. They ended up beating Louisiana, fighting Billy Napier's to compete against Florida. So I think that Florida definitely has a great chance to head over to Oklahoma City to play for the College World Series. They're playing hot. They are really putting it all together. I know that they had a little bit of a rockier start to the season, and I know last season didn't really live up to their expectations, but they've done a very, very good job this season, and don't be surprised to see them in Oklahoma City this time next week.
Yeah, Skylar Wallace, I think, set the NCAA career runs scored record over the weekend. Corby Otis continuing to have a great year, hitting 459, had a great weekend. Kendra Falby, Regan Walsh. I think Ava Brown hit her first home run at Ben Hill. I think she had 12 home runs, but first at Ben Hill, but first at KGC Shoal Stadium. Yeah. And shout out to Keegan Rothrock. 41 appearances, 36 starts on the year. Has thrown great all year, but like some people in the chat have said, Florida is playing their best softball at the right time.
Yeah, went and won the SEC tournament, and then went and swept through the Gainesville Regional. So undefeated in the postseason so far. This is the time that you want to get hot. They've got a great roster, a great team. And at this point, once you get there, all bets are off, and it's time to put it all together. So shout out to that team. I know that it's been a challenging few years for them, and to see them all put together and really do a great job this season is well deserved for that team and for that program, which I know had some staffing changes. I know a lot of graduations and everything else. So really solid team. Looking forward to watching them play. Softball is a fun sport to watch, Nick. I catch myself watching it pretty often, like DJ Lagway does.
Shout out to DJ Lagway. I love watching everyone supports football. I love watching the football players out there supporting other sports, whether it be baseball, softball, swimming, track, whatever it is. I think I saw Jamarcus Weston and Austin Barber were also out there supporting the girls on the dirt.
Awesome. Awesome. So we will we'll close out the show. Nick, you have Song of the Week, so think about that while we close out here. As always, we really appreciate Alumni Hall and Home Field Apparel for sponsoring this show. We appreciate everybody that tuned in. We had 400 or 500 people swing through, so we appreciate you guys watching live with us today at a different time. We'll be back next week with Corey, who will I know was sad and disappointed to miss the show today. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us a little bit later today. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys at the same corner, different time next week. Please hit that like and subscribe button before you head out. Nick, what song do we have this week?
We're going to go. I thought Drake did better than I expected in his rap battle. But it's hip hop versus hip hop. He shouldn't have gotten in the ring with K-Dot. We're going to go with Kendrick Lamar, Not Like Us.
Awesome. Well, we will see you guys on Stadium and Gale next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening and watching, and have a great week. Psst.
I see dead people.
Hey, Mustard on the beat, ho, Debo, any rap nigga, he a freak, though. Man down, call like Ember the Lambs, tell him breathe, bro. Nail a nigga to the cross, he walk around like Tizo. What's up with these jabroni ass niggas trying to see Compton? The industry can hate me, fuck them all and they mama. How many ops you really got? I mean, it's too many options. I'm finna pass on this body, I'm John Stockton. Beat your ass and hide the Bible if God watching. Sometimes you gotta pop out and show niggas. Certified boogeyman, I'm the one that up to score with him. Walk him down whole time, I know he got some hoe in him. Pole on him, extort shit, bully the flow on him. Say Drake, I hear you like I'm young. You better not ever go to cell block one. To any bitch that talk to him and they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. They tell me Chubb's the only one that get your hand-me-downs. And party at the party playing with his nose now. And Baka got a weird case, why is he around? Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. Wop, 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 dot, fuck him up. Wop, 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 I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a bitch, ain't you tired? Trying to strike a chord, and it's probably A minor. They not like us.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. You think the Bay gon' let you disrespect Pop, nigga? I think that Oakland show gon' be your last stop, nigga. They cold foul. I don't know why you still pretending. What is the owl? Bird niggas and bird bitches go. The audience not dumb. Shape the stories how you want. Hey, Drake, they're not slow. Rabbit hole is still deep. I can go further, I promise. Ain't there something? Be rest. That's for bitchin'. You Malibu most wanted. Ain't no law boy. You ball boy. Fresh Gatorade or something. Since 2009, I had this bitch jumpin'. You niggas will get a wedgie. Be flipped over your boxes. Or over your foe. The other vaginal option. Pussy. Nigga better straighten they posture. Got famous all up in content. Might write this with a doctor. Tell a pop star quit hiding. Fuck a caption. Won't action. No accident. I'm hands on. He fuck around. Get polished. Fucked on Wayne Grow. He was in jail. That's conniving. Then get his face tatted like a bitch apologizing. I'm glad D Rose came home. Y'all didn't deserve him neither. From Alondra down to Central. Nigga better not speak on Serena. And your homeboy needs subpoena. That predator moving flocks. That name gotta be registered and placed on neighborhood watch. I lean on you niggas like another line of walk. Yeah, it's all eyes on me and I'ma send it up the park. Ayy, put the road label on me. I'ma get them dropped. Ayy. Sweet chin music and I won't pass the ox. Ay, how many stocks do I really have in stock? Ay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus 5. Ay, devil is a lie, he a 69 god. Ay, freaky ass niggas need to stay their ass inside. Ay, roll their ass up like a fresh pack of Zon. Ay, city is back up, it's a must, we outside. Ay. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. They not like us. They not like us, they not like us. Once upon a time, all of us was in chains. Homies still doubled down, calling us some slaves. Atlanta was the mecca, building railroads and trains. Bear with me for a second, let me put y'all on game. The settlers was using town folk to make them richer. Fast forward 2024, you got the same agenda. You run to Atlanta when you need a check balance. Let me break it down for you, this the real nigga challenge. You caught Future when you didn't see the club. Hey, what? Lil Baby help you get your lingo up. What? 21, get your far street cred. Thug makes you feel like you a slime in your head. Hey, what? Quavo said you can be from Northside. What? 2 Chainz say you good, but he lied. You run to Atlanta when you need a few dollars. No, you not a colleague, you a fucking colonizer. The family matter and the truth of the matter. Here was God's plan to show y'all the liar. He a fan, he a fan, he a fan. He a fan, he a fan, he a freaky ass nigga, he a 69 god. Freaky ass nigga, he a 69 god. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for your life. Freaky ass nigga, he a 69 god. Freaky ass nigga, he a 69 god. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for
let
your life.
Let me hear you say O-V-Ho.
O-V-Ho.
Say O-V-Ho.
O-V-Ho.
Then step this way, step that way. Then step this way, step that way. Are you my friend? Are we locked in? Then step this way, step that way. Then step this way, step that way.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.